Good morning, church. Welcome to Koinonia. We're so glad to have you join us in worship. Today, we're going to be wrapping up our sermon series on The Rock, our study on the Apostle Peter. And Peter's story is really a story of grace. If you remember how Jesus called him at the beginning and how Jesus redeemed him despite his failure. And today, you're going to see how Jesus' grace is going to empower him for mission. And I trust that God has been speaking to you and revealing to you his grace as well. So today, as we begin to worship, I'm going to invite you to stand. We're going to sing and we're going to praise him of this amazing grace that he has for us. I'm going to lead us into a time of worship and then we're going to join in. Let's pray. God, we thank you for this amazing grace. This glorious grace that you have shown us before the foundation of the world. That you have shown us when you have called us despite us and our difficulty and our sinful status. And God, we thank you for your grace when we have fallen and when we have hit rock bottom. You have shown us your grace. God, would you help us to grow in appreciation, grow in love for you, knowing this amazing grace that you have for us. Would you open our eyes, open our minds, open our hearts, so that we can receive the message that you have for us today. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
On the hill called Calvary, God so loved the world that he gave his only Son, Jesus Christ, to die for us, so that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have eternal life. You and I gather here today are the living testimonies of his love and grace. Let us set our hearts, our mind, to worship him, for he is worthy to be praised. I cast my mind to Calvary, where Jesus bled and died for me. I see his wounds, his hands, his feet, my Savior on that cursed tree. His body bound and drenched in tears, they laid him down in Joseph's tomb, the entrance sealed by heavy stone. Messiah still and all alone. Praise the name of the Lord our God. Oh, praise his name forevermore. For endless day we will sing your praise. Oh, Lord, The blazing sun shall pierce the night, and I will rise among the saints. My gaze transfixed on Jesus' face. Oh, praise the name of the Lord our God. Oh, praise His name forevermore. For endless day we will sing Your praise. Oh Lord our God. Oh, praise the name of the Lord our God. Oh, praise His name forevermore. For endless day we will sing. Sing grace, how sweet the sound that saved the wretch like me. I once was lost, but now am found. Was blind, but now I see. Tears that taught my heart to fear, and grace my fears relieved. How precious it that grace appear the hour I first believed. My chains are gone, set free. My God, my Savior has ransomed me, and like a flood His mercy rains, unending love, amazing grace. Ransomed me, and like a flood, His mercy rains, unending love, amazing grace. My chains are gone, I've been set free. My who could imagine that God's love and salvation were displayed on the cross? Who could imagine that a wretch like me can be saved? Oh God, we are humbled, and we acknowledge that your thoughts are higher than our thoughts, and your ways are higher than our ways. We submit all our ways to you, trusting that you will make our path straight. Oh, to Jesus I surrender all. To him I freely give. I will live, love, and trust him in his presence. Worship be music to your ears. and may it be an acceptable offering before your throne. In Jesus' name, we pray. Amen. You may be seated.
So recently, I had a conversation with a youth, and he asked me some questions about the faith. He's someone who grew up in church, and he is someone who's been to Sunday school, he's reading the Bible, he knows the Bible pretty well, he's got all the information in his head. But when I talked to him, he asked me this question. He asked me, how do I know that this faith, it's something that I can believe in? How do I know that after believing in this faith, when I die, I go to heaven? And how do I know that this faith is something that I can hold on to, and this faith is real, and I can have full belief in it, I can keep growing this faith, I can keep doing many more things in faith? So my conversation with him weighed heavily on my mind as I prepare for today's sermon. So for the past month, we have been talking about Peter. We talked about his journey from his starting point to his fall, to his redemption. And as he started out by the seaside. He just finished fishing that night, and Jesus asked him, "Can I use your boat?" And his response was yes. And his experience with Jesus on the boat caused him to start to realize who Jesus is. And at that point in time, when Jesus called him, "Peter, I will make you a fisher of men," his response was to drop everything and go. That was the start. It was Albert Trent. But over the time that he spent with Jesus, the faith started to grow. And at the point in time when Jesus was about to be crucified, Peter fell. He fell really hard. He went down deep to the valley, and Peter felt that he has betrayed a faith, and his faith is gone. It's no more. Because when it mattered most, his response was, "No, I don't know this man." When people ask him, "Do you know him? I think I saw him with Jesus," his response was, "No." And he ran away. And Peter thought that was the end for him. But the interesting thing is, last week, Pastor Gabriel, he shared with us, that fall was not the end for Peter. Jesus came back and redeemed him. By the charcoal side, after a night of empty nets, once more, Jesus called Peter again. Jesus called Peter to follow him and to be a fisher of men. Jesus asked him three times, "Do you love me? Do you love me? Do you love me?" And Peter's response was, "Yes, I do. Lord, you know I do, because you know everything." And from then on, Peter's faith continued to grow and grow and grow. And we can say that at the end of his life, when he was crucified on the cross upside down, he died as a martyr, that was the pinnacle of his faith. And I just can't help but wonder, what happened in between Jesus' redemption of Peter and his death? And did he continue to just grow only, or were there moments in time when he fell and he was rebuilt again? It's really interesting. Peter's story, it continues in Acts. So in Acts, Jesus spent some time with Peter and the rest of the disciples because Jesus was going back to heaven, and he decided to spend time with them to teach them. And Peter was absorbing as much as he could. So it was like they were in a closed-door cultivation mode where they would just be exchanging a lot of ideas, and Jesus was giving them all his secret manuals, telling them all the secret things that they should know to prepare them, to gear them up and equip them when they go out into the world. So Jesus spent time with them, and they learned and they absorbed as much as they could. And after 40 days, Jesus went back to heaven. After Jesus went back to heaven, it was a time that was quite confusing for Peter and the rest of the disciples. They did not know what they were supposed to do. They did not really get a good idea of what's next or what's the next step. So Peter and the rest of them, they sat around in a room, they were discussing, and because Judas betrayed, so they had to find someone to replace the ranks, they had to find someone to take over Judas' place. And They were looking for people, they were talking about, they were throwing out names, they were gathered together in that room. And after some time, they were talking and talking, they were still together. There came the helper that Jesus promised. Jesus promised them that after he has gone, he will send them a helper. But the manner in which the helper arrived was something miraculous to Peter and the rest, because they thought there would be another person, there might be another teacher coming, but they did not expect that the helper was the Holy Spirit. And the way the Holy Spirit descended was such a big event for them. It came down as tongues of fire, entered into them, and they left the room, they started to preach, they started to share, they started to bear witness to Jesus, and it was in different languages, it was in different tongues. It's as if I'm speaking fluent Cantonese to you right now, or I'm speaking fluent Spanish to you right now. Whatever language that you're most comfortable in, I'm speaking that to you and you can understand me perfectly. That was amazing because there were multiple people around them at that time. There were the Greeks, there were the Jews, there were the Romans. Everyone was speaking a different language, but what they heard was their mother tongue. And that event was such a big event that they thought, oh, wow, this is amazing. So Peter decided to carry on what Jesus did. Jesus went around healing people. Jesus went around preaching. And that's what Peter did too. He did it in faith and he did it in the name of Jesus. He healed the lame beggar by the temple and he bare witness to the rest of the people. And he remembered what Jesus told him to do, which was to go out and share this good news. And that's what he did. He went to the synagogues in Samaria. He went to the synagogues in Antioch. He went around telling the different Jews, hey, good news, Jesus is alive. Hey, good news, Jesus is alive. And that was what he did. He did that on and on and on. But here comes a big part that's changing the whole mindset of Peter and the rest of the apostles. In Acts chapter 10, this big thing happened. Something so unimaginable, out of our expectation. There's a new guy that's introduced in Acts chapter 10, which was Cornelius. So Cornelius, he's a Roman centurion that belonged to the Italian cohort. So he was a leader, he was a soldier, he led about 100 plus men. But continue to know more about Cornelius is that he is not just a soldier. He is someone who feared God, who gave generously to people in need, and he was someone who respected and followed the ways. He prayed all the time. And one day while he was praying at around 3 o'clock, Cornelius received a vision. And the reason why he knew it was a vision is because, oh, there's an angel. And angels are representative of God. So if this is the angel who's a representative of God, this must be a vision. And in this vision, the angel spoke to Cornelius, saying, Cornelius, what you have done is great, and God has recognized that. And because of that, there's something that God wants you to do. Well, if I was Cornelius, I would be terrified. An angel speaking to me. I'm in the presence of a holy being. I don't want to die. And anyone would be terrified. And Cornelius, he was terrified as well, but he responded really well. He said, okay, what do you want from me? Just like any good customer service guy, he would say, how can I serve you today? That is what Cornelius did. He asked the angel, okay, what do you want from me? What can I do? How can I serve you today? And the angel told him, okay, there's something you need to do. You need to go to Joppa. That was like 54 km away from where he was, which was at Caesarea. So go to Joppa, look for this guy called Peter. He's staying by the seaside, okay, with this guy named Simon. So Cornelius is thinking, oh, wait, I need to look for Peter. Why Peter and why Joppa? So what is Peter going to say? But that was all that Cornelius had. It was just, go and find this guy who's staying at this place. So being very confused, but someone who obeys the Holy Spirit, who obeys God, what Cornelius did was, he said, okay, I will obey the angel, I will obey God, and I will send, okay, I will send two people along with my soldier to go and pick him up. So he sent them and they traveled 54 km from Caesarea all the way to Joppa. overnight, and it took about a day. So while these people were traveling, Peter, he too had a vision. So isn't that a coincidence? Like, two people at two different places having vision. Okay, although it's different vision, but what are the odds, right? Same time, roughly the same time, they had a vision, but interesting, right? So Peter, at around 8 o'clock, it was dinner time. He was feeling hungry, but it was prayer time. So he went up to the rooftop to pray. While he was praying, he had a vision. And this vision was really remarkable for him because the heavens opened. And when the heavens opened, a sheet came down. And on that sheet, there were all kinds of animals. There were amphibians, there were sea creatures, land creatures, flying creatures, all kinds of creatures. So he saw like alligator, lizards, pig, cows, camels, dogs, donkey, some fish, some seagulls, and all these different animals on it. He was thinking, oh, wow, all these kind of animals. Well, what does it mean? So then a voice spoke, and this voice, Peter recognized that it was the voice of God. So this voice that came from God said, "Rise, kill, and eat." Now, wait. Peter went, "What? I am a good Jewish boy, but in front of me, there are animals that are unclean, animals that I'm not supposed to eat, because when I was growing up, my parents always told me, don't eat these, don't eat that. I'm a Jewish boy, I have this dietary restrictions. I can only eat certain kind of animals, not all. I definitely cannot eat an alligator. I definitely cannot eat a pig. So what do you mean by rise, kill, and eat?" So once more, God's voice rang out, and it's the same thing. He said, "Rise, Peter, kill and eat." Oh, this put Peter in a very confusing situation. He was like, how can I do that? I'm not supposed to, right? God, didn't you say that, you know, in the Old Testament, and last time you said don't? Oh, what do you mean? So once more, the voice rang out and said, "Rise, Peter, kill and eat. For what I have deemed worthy, do not call them common or unclean." And then the sheet went back up. And this was the vision that Peter had. So Peter was feeling very confused. He was thinking about it. He was thinking, "Oh God, what do you mean by unclean, common, oh, so many things. I don't understand. I need some time to digest." But while he was trying to digest, the people who left Caesarea, they have arrived. They found the exact place because of the details that the angel gave. And they look for Peter. So Peter was, when he was being summoned, he heard this voice from the Holy Spirit. It said, "Go with these people to Caesarea." Peter is thinking, "Oh, who are they? These people are Romans. They belong to the Roman government. How do I know what they want from me? Am I safe going there?" But Peter, he obeyed. Even when he was confused, even when he was slightly afraid, he obeyed. And the way he obeyed was, "Okay, I will go with you guys." And he brought along some other people as witness, as his companions. So while he was traveling, it was like a road trip with the other people. So he asked him, "Oh, hey, who are you? What you're doing? Where do you come from? Who sent you?" So he started to know a little bit more about the people who came to pick him up. So when he arrived at Caesarea, the moment he arrived, Cornelius saw Peter and he worshipped him. He was like, "Oh, you're Peter." But Peter was like, wait, hold it up. Don't worship me. I am not God. I am not Jesus. All right, the one we worship, it's up in heaven. So he raised Cornelius up and he stopped Cornelius from worshipping. So Cornelius, he was like, "Hey, I had this vision, you know. This angel told me to go and find you, and he gave me a place, he gave me a location, he gave me a name." And at a point, Peter, he started to think, oh, he started to associate what the vision meant, his own vision meant, and what was happening with Cornelius. So Cornelius brought him into the house, and Peter got a shock. He was like, "Wow, so many people. I did not expect so many people. I did not expect the fact that Cornelius, you would go and get your friends, your relatives, your uncle, your aunties, your cousins, and your best buddy to come and hear me. But why do you want me here? What do you want me to say?" He's thinking, if you want me to speak, or if you want me to say something, you have to give me a topic, or at least give me a direction to go to. but he did not. And Peter was thinking, oh, all these people, I'm feeling awkward here. So he addressed them. He was like, hey guys, this is highly irregular. This is something don't usually happen. Well, because I'm a Jew and we don't usually hang out or relax with people that's not of our culture, but because God said so, all right? Because God said so, that is why I am here. So he said this out loud and he told all of them that. And he asked them, what's the topic now? What do you want me to talk about? Cornelius said, whatever God asked you to tell us. Oh, that is so confusing. So Peter was thinking, okay, what can I say? What's one thing that that I can talk about? He went, okay, I think I know. Peter said, okay, I will tell them about the good news. The good news that, you know, I've been telling everyone, this is something that I know. This is something that I think God wants me to tell everyone. So he started to preach. It's like a gospel rally. He started to tell them, Jesus came. Jesus did this. Jesus did that. He turned water into wine. He gave them the miracles. He told them why did Jesus come and that Jesus loved them. And just like any gospel rally, he's building up towards the climax of asking them, do you want to believe in Jesus? If you do, raise your hand, come forward, and we'll pray for you, dedicate your life. So as Peter was building up towards that, that was when things got out of Peter's control. It went out of Peter's hand right away. Because at that moment, the Holy Spirit descended once more, and these people were Gentiles, okay? People that the Jews don't associate with. So the Holy Spirit descended and it fell upon everyone who was listening there. And they started to sing praise, they started to praise God. But it was in tongues, it was in different languages. Peter and the other people that he brought along, they witnessed this entire scene. And that shocked Peter. He did not expect this. He did not expect that the Holy Spirit, the gift of the Holy Spirit which he have, is now given to these people. This just blew his mind. Because the Holy Spirit's arrival was the authentication for him to know that these people too are included. These people too are the people that I can tell the good news to. And these people too will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. And he finally understood what the vision meant. It meant that God does not care about the race. God does not care about what skin color. He does not care about your culture. He doesn't care if you're Italian, you're Roman, you're Jew or Greek. He puts all of that aside. And what really matters is your heart. It's your heart that matters. As long as your heart fears God like Cornelius, you too will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. And this showed Peter that the good news, the gift of the Holy Spirit, is meant for more than just Jews. And the direction in which they were going to go on was going to be very different. And this set waves, tidal waves, is going to make a great impact. It's going to make great changes. Peter, he did not know what to expect when Cornelius invited him. Cornelius did not know what to expect when he invited Peter. Neither of them knew what was going to happen. But they obeyed. God gave them that first step. God provided them with an instruction. He told Cornelius, send someone to go to Joppa, pick up Peter. And Cornelius obeyed. Towards Peter, he gave him a vision. And then the Holy Spirit said to Peter, go with these people to Caesarea. Peter got confused, but he obeyed. The thing is, God works in a very different manner than we expect Him to. God leads us step by step. He gives us what we need at the right time to build up our faith. He gives you that first step. He tells you the next step. And you will have to respond. You know, if God told me, Canaan, at the age of 27, you are going to become a pastor. then I would know that every single step I take, I would take with faith. I would know that my end goal is that I'm going to become a pastor. So I would go into theology school with faith. I would know this is the right step to take. I would know every single thing and I'll be working hard and everything. But the thing is, that's not really how God works. More often than not, the way God works is to give you a step at a time. When I was accepted to Regent, that was how it started for me. And did I know what's going to happen next? No, I didn't. I responded by entering into school and studying. Did I know what would happen when I take on a teaching job? I did not know. I did not know that that teaching job was to prepare me to spend time with youth and children. No, but I took that step. Sometimes God just wants you to trust in Him and to follow Him and to take that step that He has given you. The thing is, God never promised you that it's going to be a straight road. He never promised you it's going to be a road where it's not twisty or turny. He didn't promise that. He didn't promise a smooth journey. And we can see from Peter's life is that it's a journey of up and down and curves and turns and rocky and valley. And God, every step of the way, He would tell you the next step. And He waits for your response. Peter, at his start of his life, at the start of his journey with Jesus, Jesus asked him, "Can I use your boat?" He said, "Yes." "Throw out your nets." He whined a bit, but he still said yes. And at the end of it all, at that time, Jesus asked him, "Follow me and become a fisher of men." Peter responded. Peter dropped everything and followed. But did he know that he's going to die a martyr? No. But he followed. Jesus gave him that step and he followed. Yes, there are times when we might not follow, just like how Peter did. There might be times when someone asks, "Do you know who Jesus is?" And you said, "No, I don't know," and you run away. It might happen. But the thing is, there's redemption. Jesus would redeem you. Jesus would call you back just as He did to Peter. Jesus tells you the next step again. "Peter, do you love me? If you do, feed my sheep." "Peter, do you love me? If you do, feed my lamb." Jesus would continue to give you a next step and He waits for your response. He showed us that time and time again, He would give us one step and He waits for our response. And now, I want you to think about, what are you struggling with? Are you still waiting for God to give you a roadmap? God is not like Google Maps. He's not going to tell you at the end where you're going to go and He give you the entire direction. Go straight 500 meters, take exit 7A for another 700 meters, take exit B, go another 2 km and you get to your destination. No, that's not how God's leading us. But the way God leads is a step at a time. If you're still waiting for a roadmap, He might have already given you your next step. What are you struggling with today? What is holding you back? Maybe God has already given you your next step. What are you running away from? Time and time again, God has taken the first step. He has invited us to follow Him. He has invited us to take the next step with Him. And right now, He's waiting for our response. Sometimes, when we want to run away, we might get to the same destination at the end. But the path that we are taking, it's very different from the path that God has planned out for us. And it takes faith to walk step by step with Christ, to walk step by step with Jesus, to not know where we are going, but to have faith in Him and to walk. And sometimes, when you are running away, you're preventing yourself from enjoying the experience that you can have with Jesus. You are running away from that moment of life transformation that Peter underwent. What are you struggling with? God has sent us the Holy Spirit to help us. I encourage you to spend time with God, to dwell in His presence, to be in the presence of the Holy Spirit, and to communicate, to rely on the Holy Spirit's direction so that you know that this is the step to take. Because more often than not, we do not know. We are unsure. We are confused. But the next step comes in faith. Many times we wonder if this is the right step, and we struggle with that thought that, is this the right step for me to do? Is this the right move? We struggle with that. And you might be thinking, how would I know? The thing is, we don't know if this is the right move. I don't know if going to region is the right move. I don't know if teaching is the right move. We don't. But what we can do is we take that step in faith, in the presence of the Holy Spirit, in the presence of God. Be close to Him to know what He wants from you. That is what we can do. And we take that next step in faith. Let us come together and let us pray and let us think about the struggles that we have and how we can take that step and how we can answer to God's invitation. Let us pray. God, we want to give thanks. We want to give thanks for the helper that you have sent us, that is the Holy Spirit. And give thanks that our call has always been the same and that you have prepared the next step for us, and you have invited us to follow you and to take that next step in faith with you. I pray that as we continue to journey, our faith will continue to grow, and that we can continue to respond to your first invitation, to respond to your first step. And I pray that you can, and because of you, we can overcome our struggles, overcome our nagging fear of not knowing the future of uncertainty. And I pray that we can dwell in the presence of the Holy Spirit, and that we can dwell in your presence constantly. And I pray that we can grow our faith. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Let us rise and sing the next song as a response to today's message.
Glory, God, is what our hearts long for. To
Let us become more aware of your presence. Let us experience the glory of your goodness. Let us become more aware of your presence. Let us experience the glory of your goodness. Let us become more aware of your presence. Let us experience the glory of your goodness. Spirit, you are welcome here, and we are available. May we dwell in you as you in us. May you move and guide us to your ways. And let us serve one another with love, just like how you loved us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. You may be seated.
Peter's story has always been such an inspiring story for me, especially now that we have gone through 4 weeks in a row. And I'm sure that God has spoken to you in this sermon series about his grace and his forgiveness. And perhaps today he has renewed his mission for you and he's called you to follow him, follow his guidance and follow his Holy Spirit. And my prayer for our church is that we'll continue to follow his guidance, continue to follow his Holy Spirit, despite any situation that we might be in. Starting next week, we're going to begin a brand new sermon series called 2021. And this is going to be a very important sermon series because in this series, we're going to be talking about the church's vision and strategy for next year. Well, we all know 2020 has been a very difficult time and a time of a lot of change for a lot of us. You and I certainly have been doing church quite differently. What's that going to look like for 2021? That's what we're going to be talking about. We're going to be looking at the book of 2 Timothy, and we're going to be drawing valuable lessons from it and see what we can do as a church during this time of difficulty and during this time of change. This is going to be very important for us as a church family, so I'm going to encourage you to join us next week. Quick reminder, next week is communion, so when you do grocery shopping this week, make sure you go get some bread, get some wine or some juice so that we can partake together in communion. If this sermon series or this message has been helpful to you, I'm going to encourage you to leave me a comment, leave us a comment, let us know in the chat room, and share this with your friends so that God can speak to them and God can bless them as well. I'm going to bless you now with the Word of God. And today's passage is going to be taken from the Apostle Peter himself, 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 6 to 11. Church, humble yourselves, therefore, under the mighty hand of God, so that at the proper time, he may exalt you, casting all your anxieties on him because he cares for you. Be sober-minded and be watchful. Your adversary, the devil, prowls around like a roaring lion seeking somebody to devour. Resist him, firm in your faith, knowing that the same kinds of suffering are being experienced by your brotherhood throughout the world. And after you have suffered a little while, the God of all grace, the God of all grace, who has called you to his eternal glory in Christ, will himself restore, confirm, strengthen, and establish you. And to him be the dominion forever and ever. Amen. Church, we'll see you next week.